You're listening to Brendan Sinclair's Business Mix from TaylorPodcast.com. Marketing, media, and web information sure to hit the mark. Grab a drink, settle down, and get the news from an expert who's been there, done that, and wears a t-shirt. Here's your host, Brendan Sinclair.
Hello and welcome to podcast number 11. It is Wednesday, 15th of February 2006, and here on the sunny Gold Coast in Queensland, Australia, it's overcast, looks like a storm's coming in. For this week's show, we're joined again by Tina. Tina, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Hi everyone out there.
They're a very nice bunch of flowers that your partner has sent you.
Yes, I got a very pretty bunch of flowers on Valentine's Day.
That is very, very sweet. On today's show, we'll be looking at three things. We'll be breaking it up again. Number one is how to make the sale. We'll be looking at the three main things you need to do to make a sale when you're in front of your client. Number two, we'll be looking at the importance of measuring your statistics, whether it be for your website or your business or whatever. And number three, we'll be looking at the why and how marketing to your local area. We'll be going right through a few strategies. And Tina will also be joining in the middle there with the business bite, so stay tuned for that. So Tina, first of all, we'll have a look at how you make the sale to the customer, and I've put it down to three main things. Number one, you have to quantify the benefit to the customer. Number two, you have to demonstrate that you've done it before. And number three is kind of related to number two. You have to reassure them that you're the man for the job or the woman for the job, if it was you going for the job, or the company for the job. So number one, we'll have a look at how to make the sale. The first thing we'll look in that is how you need to quantify everything you do for the client.
What do you mean by quantify?
By quantifying, I mean if you do a website for someone, for example, you can tell them how many sales you expect them to make if you do the website, because it's so much more beneficial and easier for you trying to sell the service if you can say to the customer or the potential customer, okay, I'm going to design this website, it'll make you 10 sales per week within 6 months.
But how can you possibly tell how many sales the website's going to make for them?
It's actually surprising how close we can actually get, because you have a look at a whole range of data. Number one, we would have a look at the amount of searches done for that particular item, whatever product they'll be selling. So we can tell within 1,000 or 2,000 searches per month. So if it's a product that gets 5,000 searches per month on Google, for instance, and we get a high ranking in Google, let's say we get position 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and that'll take you 6, 9 months to get, then we can probably guess that 20% of those customers will click on the link. So 5,000 people are searching, that'll mean 1,000 visitors per month to your website. You with me on that one so far?
Yeah, so far, but what about the sales?
Okay, well, across industries, we've got a whole range of data that we can look at that tells us that generally it's anywhere between 3 and 8%, depending on the product. There's a whole range of factors, obviously, that come in there, but generally, I'd guess between 3 and 8%. And based on our experience, we can pretty much say to a client, in this industry, with your sort of product, with your price points, knowing the client motivations, then your conversion rate will be 4, 5, 6%.
Wouldn't you be worried about getting caught out and then something happening to not make all those sales and then the client?
Well, it is a concern because, yeah, there is so many variables that come into it. And I'll give a great example that I was going to talk about in the measuring. One of our clients is a resort and they get a really poor conversion rate of leads from the website becoming sales. Now, in that industry, about 50% of people who use the contact form to book a holiday, to book the resort or to ask for a quote, 50% generally book, and that's based on quite a number of our clients' previous experience. So email comes in and the resort manager gets it, responds, phone calls or emails the person back, and in 50% of cases closes the sale, makes the booking. Now we have another client whose closure rate there is about 3%. Now there's a really good reason why it's 3%, and that really good reason is that they've got an appalling follow-up service. It can sometimes take days before they get back to a lead. They never phone, they'll only email, and even the email itself that they send back doesn't close the sale at all. It's a very generic look, we don't really want your business kind of email.
Have they come back to you and sort of said anything about that low conversion rate?
Oh, yeah, they have. And we've got a meeting next week because, for example, this website has generated in the last little while something like 700 leads for them, and they've only closed a very small percentage of them. And obviously there's red flags that go up in the whole process along the way. So getting back into it, you've got to quantify the benefits. So yeah, there are lots and lots of variables that come into play, but you can pretty much get it right. Like your copywriting on your website will make a difference, obviously. Your price will make a difference. Your search engine ranking will make a difference. The seasonal influences are also there, but it's pretty general. You can get pretty close with your quantification of what you think the website will do for people.
So what you're saying then, if you can find something that you can back and guarantee, well, not guarantee, but like, you know, recommend to your customer, that you can definitely do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then do it, because it's more powerful than...
Yeah, for sure. Else. And how we do that is we demonstrate to the client, we say, look, we've done this before. I'll have to use another resort as an example. We'll say, look, we've done a resort website before and these have been the results. They've got 5 bookings per day from the website, etc., etc., etc. And what that's really powerful, because that's kind of like a testimonial. It's saying, look, we've done it before. We can achieve these same results for you. So quantifying it like that allows the potential client to make a decision based on some data. They can see the cost-benefit analysis and make, hopefully, the right decision, which is obviously buy our services or your services, and away you go. Now, that's the second thing. So quantifying how much money they're going to make or how many leads they're going to generate, and then demonstrating that you've done it before and reassure them, which is the third thing. You've got to reassure them using things like testimonials and guarantees. They're two really good ways to reassure people about the quality of your service. I mean, when you buy stuff, Tina, what do you look for? What reassures you?
Probably what reassures me is, you know, if I can trust the people, if I look at what they've done before.
Their reputation.
Just the way they treat their customers, and I usually ask around and sort of see what other people I know think. And
yep. Do you buy brand something? Stuff? Is brand important consideration?
I definitely consider it. You know, a lot of things, if you want something that sort of works the first time, if you go with something with an established reputation,
yeah,
then it feels safer.
That's what's so powerful about a brand, because there's so many connotations with it, and it, like you say, you feel safer because it reassures you that the quality is going to be good. So that's a really powerful example of how to reassure someone by having a brand quality product by great reputation, testimonials and guarantees. So that's how to make the sale. Quantify what you're doing, demonstrate that you can do it, and then reassure your customer. Okie dokie then, Tina, let's move along to measuring is critical in terms of business. Now tell me the truth, do you measure how many gifts your boyfriend gives you, and do you then buy him gifts based on the value of what he's given you?
Not really with my boyfriend, but I know at Christmas time, when you've got sort of family and like rallies and all that sort of thing and friends to buy presents for, you don't really want them to give a more expensive gift to you.
Oh, you're unbelievable. You go and check out what they bought you, how much they spent.
No, I don't, but I just
you
try
seem
and guess
so
what
very
do.
Nice. You're unbelievable. Okay, I better check what we buy Tina for a gift. Now, actually, Tina, you got flowers when you first started here at Taylor. Are they better flowers? Were they better flowers than the ones the boyfriend sent you?
You didn't have any love with your flowers.
No. I think maybe I should laugh a bit louder into the microphone and really pierce your eardrum. Okay, let's move along. So measuring is critical in your business. So anyone, any friends of Tina out there listening, make sure you buy her expensive gift. Otherwise, you're just going to get a cheap one from the $2 shop. Now, we had a look at a website,
that's
one of our
true.
Websites that we own just the other day, an affiliate website, and it gets a whopping 13% conversion rate. That is, for every 100 visitors, we make 13 sales from it, which was really quite impressive.
Were you surprised at all that conversion rate, 13%?
Yeah, I was, because it was the first time I'd looked at the stats in a month. And I should look at them more, but you tend to get tied up in your own business and get really busy. But 13% was outlandish, really, because again, in that sort of industry, that sell, when you recommend a product, you expect a conversion of 2-4%, but the conversion of 13% was very significant. Now what we're going to do with that website is try some other things and see if we can increase that conversion rate. That particular site, and there's a couple of sites like it, have fairly individual characteristics. They're fairly unique sort of websites using new technology. So that was really impressive. And now that we know that they're making us so much money, we can actually put some resources into it and go, okay, this is doing really well. We should be able to double the sales from that those products, and it's, I don't know, what was it, a couple of grand a month. We should be able to double that with doubling the advertising budget on it, because it's so profitable, the return on investment is great, so let's double the advertising, and that should bump it up.
When you measure stuff, do you change one thing at a time, or do you...
It's really important to to be able to measure what is working. So I quite often measure change a few things at a time, but I don't ever change a huge thing at once. That's a great point. When you do make a change in something that you are measuring, then make sure that you're measuring just the one thing, so don't go changing 10 different things at once, otherwise you won't obviously know what's impacted. So if you're on your website and it's selling great, then don't change the way the sales process goes through, just change one thing at a time. One small thing might be a button here or there. And just like the resort that we mentioned that in the first segment, they want to be measuring everything they're doing to see why they're getting such an appalling closure rate. Now, we've already obviously identified what that is.
Should you then come in and tell them sort of what's the problem, or how do you go about that? Because it's sort of you don't want to tell the client they're wrong.
That's a good question. Yeah, we don't want to say, look, hey, you're making a terrible mistake here. You want to say that, but in a slightly different way. And then, of course, you've got the commercial consideration. It's outside our initial brief with the web development, and they're currently not an ongoing consultancy. So we've identified this major issue. This is the thing that's costing them, I think it's at like $500,000 a year, unless they get it fixed. It's absolutely massive. So we've got the consideration that they're not a client, and it's kind of not even certainly not a web issue. It's their follow-up sales process issue, and we've identified that. And from a commercial consideration point of view, I've got the business. So do I tell them? I mean, how do I go about that? Do I say, look, I know why you're not converting these customers for X amount of dollars, I'll tell you, or look, we feel that we can provide you with some significant added value if you become an ongoing client, we charge you a monthly retainer, and that's probably the best way to do it. So the short answer is we'll certainly try, but we're going to try and certainly get the client onto a monthly retainer to facilitate us doing that sort of research in the future and providing them with some great value. And the information we have got is the answer to their problem. I can't believe that it hasn't been addressed previously. I can't believe it hasn't been seen previously.
Must be hard, because you don't want to give away the information for nothing.
No, that's very true. And just because we stumbled across this and it was a bit of an extra effort for the client to try and address any sort of web issues, and we found the core issue, we should get paid for that. But it took us 5 minutes to figure it out, but the value is the thing. The value is $500,000. So, yeah, well, it's certainly something we'll try and address. We've got another client who has indicated to us that they get very few leads from their website, such as one lead per week from their lead generation website. And then we put a measurement on the contact form and actually found that instead of getting one lead generated per week, they actually get 4 or 5 per day.
But they just didn't notice at all how many they were getting from their website.
The issue there was that so many different people were getting the leads and checking their emails that no one person was driving it, no one person was in charge, and no one, their end, was measuring how many leads. So they've come to us and they've said, hey, yeah, love the website, but it's not working.
So that comes back to measuring, I guess, then.
Yeah, and that's why measuring is so critical, because like that example of the resort, it can cost you $500,000. With our conversion rate, of 13% on that particular product, we know that if we double the advertising budget, that's going to give us an extra $2,000 a month. What's that? $24,000 a year. And that, Tina, is going to keep me and you in beer and chocolates for the rest of the year.
It sounds good to me.
Okay, well, let's do that then. So I guess the whole issue is keep measuring. Measure everything you do. Measure the things you change. Measure what impact your marketing strategies have on your business, because it can make or save you thousands and thousands of dollars.
Hi, and welcome to another Business Bite with me, Tina. Word of mouth, that's having your customers recommend you to others, is probably the most effective form of marketing. And it's also the cheapest. The question is, how do you get people to talk positively about your business? Well, that's easy. You have to make your business or service or product so good that people want to tell others. Here are the top three tips to get more word of mouth business. Number one, do something outrageous, bizarre, or incredible for your customers. People talk about extraordinary things. Number two, give an incentive for people to talk about your business. If there are rewards and incentives to encourage word of mouth, then people will do it. It might be as simple as a small discount each time a new customer mentions who referred them in. Number three, ask them, could you please do your friends a favor and recommend us? Simple. Positive word of mouth can provide a tremendous marketing boost. Get it working for your business.
Okay, now we'll talk about why and how you should market to your local area. I'm very excited to announce that we've just pulled in a marketing client who just happens to be the local, my favourite local restaurant. It's a great restaurant. Do you reckon there could be a better client than that, Tina?
Maybe you can ask them to pay you in food instead of money.
That's actually the plan. I'm not interested in the money at all because the food is magnificent. Anyway, I've been looking at her business, obviously, the owner chef, and how to market within your local area, and importantly why you should market within your local area, not just for a business like a restaurant, but any sort of business. For instance, as web developers, we'll find that the vast majority of our clients will come within probably a 50 kilometer radius, and what that does is gets back to the reassurance. People just feel safer if that business is closer. And the amount of times I've heard, oh, I saw that you were really close, and that's good. So that's a really important one, that people feel much more reassured that you're close to them for some reason.
So that's interesting, though. Even though your business is positioned as sort of, you know, Australia-wide or international with the web design business kit, yeah, and all that sort of stuff, you still get most of your clients,
oh, absolutely,
in the local area.
It's much easier to generate clients in the local area for a whole range of reasons. You can do your marketing can be so much more targeted. Word of mouth is a really strong component, and that's a significant influence within the market. So whilst you want to market Australia-wide, if that's your market, go for your life, but you'll still find, I found, that the most of your market will be limited to within a certain geographic location, because that's where you're going to get your word of mouth and it's easier to target and all the rest. So the other question, I guess, is how to market to your local targets, how to get into that local area. And for something like the restaurant, well, obviously the first thing you always do with any marketing strategies is do a survey. You find out what influences your potential customers, what magazines they read, why do they buy that particular product, where they live, etc. And then you base your marketing strategy on that. So if 100% of your market reads the local newspaper, then you might take an ad in the local newspaper, for instance. If you don't survey, you don't have that information.
What sort of questions do you ask on the survey?
You get all the demographic material you can, such as sex and age and whether they've got kids and where they live, all of that. And obviously you try and build a database at the same time, so you try and get their contact details. And the sort of questions you then ask is obviously what influences in their buying decisions. So when you buy a product like this, do you buy based on reputation, quality, price, etc.?
And how do you get them to fill out the survey, though, and give you their personal details?
That's a great question, because you see this mistake all the time. What you have to do is provide an incentive. So say to them, fill in this survey, you go in the draw to win a trip for two to the Gold Coast to be on Brendan and Tina's podcast, for instance.
Oh, exciting.
Very
exciting. Actually, that's what we're giving away today.
Yes. We should do a survey like that. Good thinking. So you get that information by providing with an incentive, because, you know, people want something for giving you some information. So if you provide an incentive for doing a survey, then you'll get a bigger response. The biggest mistake I see with surveys is there's no incentive to do them, so people don't do them. If there's a great prize, then people will do them. So marketing to your local area. So it's going to be things like flyers, boring old flyers. Flyers work because they can be so targeted. With the restaurant, for example, the target market there is going to be a 5 kilometer radius. So you've got your influencers are going to be things like signage. Okay, there's going to be people wandering around because it's in a strip where there's a few other cafes. So signage is going to be important. The person standing out on the street, standing there to welcome customers into the restaurant, is going to be important. You want someone who's attractive and someone who's friendly and someone who's fairly extroverted, so that they can welcome people in and try and make the sale on anyone who's dithering about what they're going to do. So that's an important one as well.
Just going back to the flyers, how do you know where to drop your flyers, or do you just leave them around anywhere? Or?
Yeah, well, you've got your 5 kilometre radius, so you can, I mean, in the 5 kilometre radius of this client of ours, there's 8,600 households, so for $500 you can pretty much send a flyer to every household. I mean, obviously your other strategies there are going to be word of mouth. Get people who are already in the restaurant to recommend to their family and friends. And obviously get people who come into the restaurant to return, to come back and buy again and buy bigger meals and spend more money. Then you've got things like, you know, you might want to have a look at some sponsorship. Sponsorship's okay, usually, but sponsorship can be fantastic if you do it the right way. Don't just give the business, whoever wants the sponsorship dollars, don't just give them the money and get your sign up. Give them the money, get your sign up, be included in their direct mail database, see if you can get hold of that database, see if you can get the opportunity to go along and make a presentation, see if you can go along and speak for a minute about your restaurant, see if you can present a trophy, a $50 trophy. You might get to present it and get up and say, hey, I'm here from Tailored Restaurant. We have a strong commitment to quality and service exactly the same as the winner of this award, blah, blah, blah. And it'll get you out there and brand you in that local community. I even think a thing like a newsletter for the restaurant, because this is a family business. The daughter is the waitress who goes to the local high school, so there's nice little stories there. Sonia is the lady who runs the business, and she is obsessive about the best quality food, and she buys her baby veal for $23 a kilo, for instance, and she said to the guy who sells her the veal, do any other restaurants buy this veal? And she says, and they said to her, no, because it's too expensive, they just want the cheap stuff. So that's the sort of story that you can disseminate in something like a newsletter. It positions her absolutely beautifully, that she's got that commitment to quality. The nice little story of the daughter earning her pocket money to go to uni by being the waitress, and it really personalises everything. And now it's not just another restaurant, there's a story behind that restaurant, so that can be an effective way.
I guess with something as subjective as a restaurant, like, you know, that on the Gold Coast there's so many restaurants and there's so many choices.
Yeah, absolutely.
That you sort of want to get, if you feel that you know the owner, if you feel that you're interested in the story behind the restaurant, then you want to.
Because you've got to try and figure out what that point of difference is. Yeah.
I like those little stories and stuff.
Yeah, and it's a good story. The quality story is a great story. And when you meet the waitress, she's a gorgeous kid. She's like a 17-year-old waitress, works really hard, great personality. Because you've got to try and identify what the point of difference is when people choose that restaurant. And, well, number one, the really important thing is they've got to know that you're there. They've got to know who you are, and that's why your signage is important. That sounds like a really obvious one, but that's a really important one. Anyway, so that's how you market and why you should market to your local area, because it's easier, because it can be more targeted. And there's a few hints on how to market to your local area. And that brings us to the end of the show. As always, would appreciate your feedback. On Skype is Tailored, and our contact details are on tailoredpodcast.com. Hope you enjoyed the show. I look forward to you tuning in next week. That's bye for now.
See you later, everyone.
You're listening to Brendan Sinclair's Business Mix from TaylorPodcast.com. Marketing, media, and web information sure to hit the mark.